welcome back to TL Talks Podcast. I am TL. As usual, it's good to have you. So let's start off with the thought of the day. We got about 15 minutes before we get into the interview, and I have a bonus little gift for you guys on this episode. So some of you guys have listened to my podcast a lot know about one of my past guests named Anthony Mossberg, who is a recording artist, and he's a good friend of mine. And he recently, I want to say about a month ago, released a new song, a single. It's called If Heartbreak Had a Sound. And I downloaded that sucker, and I like it a lot. And so I figured, why not share it with you guys? So my aim is to play that at the end of this episode, just to give you guys a taste. And if you want to, you know, download it and support him, you can. So look for that after the interview on this episode. So let's go ahead and get into it. So first thing is obviously the thought of the day. My thought of the day is a little bit intense. So buckle up. But I mean, it's something that happened this week. It's something that I feel very strongly about. And so I figured, why not share it with you guys? So what it has to do with is, I gotta think how to put this into words. So I was in the military, as you guys know. I was in the Navy for 4 years, from ages 28 to 32. And I've noticed, not only when I was in the military, but after I got out of the military, how much, military members, or people that are veterans of the military, very often have strong opinions about their branch, other branches, and basically like hierarchy. So an example of that would be, I might run into maybe a Marine on social media, and he'll tell me, or tell, you know, whoever listens, that the Marines are the best. The Marines are, you know, above and beyond all the other branches. And if you're not a Marine, you basically aren't shit. So that's one example. You'll hear Army people think that they're the best. You know, it goes on and on. And then what I encountered this week on social media was there's this guy who had posted on one of the pages that I'm on, and he basically posted this meme of it was like it said on the right side, veterans that want your appreciation or demand your appreciation when they'd never been in combat. And then it showed that person passing a baton to somebody else. And then that one, on the left side, it said nurses doing TikTok videos that demand your appreciation. So basically he was just saying that what the people that usually demanded appreciation before that didn't deserve it, were veterans that never were in combat. And then who's doing that now as the new wave is nurses that aren't really in any danger, and they're doing TikTok videos, but trying to glorify that. So, oh man, I have a big problem with a lot of that. Here's the thing, man. All of the four major branches of the U.S. military are needed. They're all essential. You need the Navy for reasons. You need the Army for different reasons. You need the Marines for different reasons. And you need the Air Force for different reasons. So for you to waste your breath trying to advertise your branch as being the best, save that shit. Save it for somebody who cares. I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care how much you were brainwashed into thinking that you're the best. I don't care about your macho bullshit. Save it. Save that shit for somebody who cares. Because I have more perspective than you, and I realize that all the branches are equally important. They're all needed. There's nobody that's less than anybody else. And if you want to split hairs and talk about somebody who has it harder, or somebody who's in combat more, or whatever, they're training, go ahead. But once again, that's macho bullshit that I don't give a fuck about. So you can save it. So yeah, this dude posted that meme, And of course, like most of the people that responded, like, "Ooh, you're stirring the pot. I like it." And then some guys would agree with them. You know, obviously combat veterans were agreeing with them. And then even one nurse agreed with them. That she said that I don't know. She just said basically that that nurses are guilty of that. So I responded to his post, and I basically said like that. I basically said, dude, we're on the same team and grow up. You know what I'm saying? And so he responded to me and said, let me guess, you're a veteran that wasn't in combat or a nurse doing TikTok videos. And I responded to him and said, let me guess, you're a combat veteran that thinks he's better than other veterans. And so he just laughed at my comment and put my meme accomplished its goal. So here's the thing, guys. Trolls aren't going anywhere. If anything, I think in the future, trolls are going to be more prevalent because with social media being a big part of our lives, it just kind of encourages that behavior. It encourages people to be idiots and say idiotic things because they're never going to be held accountable for them. So that shit ain't going to change. What we can do is how we react to those things, whether or not we entertain those things. So... here's my final thought about that. If you think that it's cool to put down other veterans, if you think that it's cool to criticize veterans that weren't in combat, like myself, listen, man, the reason this guy touched on a nerve, I'm pretty sure he was a Marine. When I joined the military, I joined because I wanted to serve my country. My life lacked direction, but I also didn't really want to kill anybody, and I obviously didn't want to be killed. And so I wanted to serve, but not be on the front lines, you know what I mean, in Iraq or Afghanistan getting shot at. And so I'd served my time in the Navy, did 4 years. Most of the time I was not in any danger of losing my life, and I'm okay with that. I was honorably discharged. And so, I mean, I don't know, I just, people that do that, it just, it's tough, man. It's like, I really shouldn't entertain them or even respond, but sometimes I just can't help myself. Sometimes I'm like, this guy's a fucking idiot. Somebody needs to say something to him, put him in his place. And so I'm going to be that guy because I just can't help it. But yeah, it really irks me, to say the least. So hopefully you guys see where I'm coming from on that. But anyways, moving on to football talk. So a little bit lighter subject. Sorry about if that was intense. Cleveland Browns. Like I said last week, the Browns are doing a lot of the things that I want them to do. You know, I made a list of 7 different positions I wanted the Browns to address in this draft. Out of those 7 positions, they drafted 6 out of 7, which is crazy. And you could even make the argument that they went 7 for 7 because the only guy they didn't literally match the position I wanted to address was right guard. And we drafted a center from Washington who I think actually can play guard. And so you could say that they actually were 7 for 7. The fact that the Browns are 7 for 7 as far as addressing needs that I think they need to address has never happened in my lifetime. So I feel like, you know, a pig in mud. I'm ecstatic about it. I think the Browns had a great draft. I like pretty much all their picks. Of course, I'm not ever thrilled about getting Michigan players, but you know, Michigan does have good players. They're a good team. And so I'm not gonna, you know, be stressed about that too much. But, yeah, the Browns are killing it. In the past week, not much news has come out, besides just interviews with those new rookies. The one thing that did come out was I saw there was 2 Browns players that took pay cuts to stay on the team. Those players are, I think his name's Chris Hubbard. He played right tackle for us last year. And also the receiver, Rashard Higgins. Those guys both took pay cuts and restructured their contracts just to stay with the team. So pretty big brownie points from me for that. That's pretty easy indication that those guys care more about being on the Browns than they do money. And so that's pretty awesome. Rashard Higgins has been on my list of people I don't want to be on the Browns. I think he's got a big head with not a lot of production behind it. And I think he's a showboater. And so haven't been a big fan of his. I've been waiting for the Browns to get rid of him and Njoku. But Higgins taking this pay cut to stay with the Browns and not take more money with other teams is pretty cool. And so he won at least one brownie point with me for that. Moving on to Ohio State. Not much to talk about with Ohio State besides, you know, obviously a lot of their players got drafted in the draft. As I said last week, I'm annoyed that a team like the Ravens got two Buckeyes, Malik Harrison and J.K. Dobbins. So that's annoying. The Bengals got Joe Burrow, who used to be on the Buckeyes, at number one. So he's going to be their franchise quarterback. If he's as good as I think he is, he's going to make the Bengals competitive for a long time, which makes the AFC North even harder. No Buckeyes went to the Steelers, thank God. But they did get this receiver/tight end named Claypool that I liked a lot. And so that sucks. So he's going to be a good weapon for Ben and company. As far as other Buckeyes, I noticed that the Saints and Lions drafted Buckeyes like more than other teams. So I just think it's annoying that teams like the Ravens and Saints and Lions have more appreciation for Ohio State football than the Browns do. But, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for Ohio State. I'm moving on to a quick Denver Bandits update before I get into the interview. So, as you guys know, I'm a football coach for a women's tackle football team called the Denver Bandits. And our season was canceled because of coronavirus, which sucks. But my team has done a pretty good job of, keeping everybody engaged. And now they're working on basically one-on-one interviews. We had a meeting last Saturday, talked to the team about kind of, just in-house stuff and what our plan is for the quote-unquote off-season. And so that was good. And then the head coach and owner, Marcel, said he's going to have one-on-ones with all the players and coaches. And so he pretty much put out a schedule for those one-on-ones. And so I think that's actually started yesterday with a handful of players. And so I think he went in alphabetical order. I'm ironically the last person he's going to talk to. So hopefully there's no hidden meaning behind that. But yeah, so they shout out to them. They've done a good job of keeping things organized and keeping people on the same page. Obviously kind of hard to be overly motivated if you don't have any games scheduled. But I am still hopeful that we'll be able to play some games later this year. So fingers crossed on that. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for the Bandits. So without further ado, let's get into my interview. My interview is with the lovely Miss C.G. Brown. C.G. Brown is a woman that lives in Colorado Springs, which is about an hour from me. And she actually tried out for the Bandits a couple years ago. And I remember her in tryouts and thinking, man, she's going to be a good player. She's really fast. She seems aggressive. I could see her playing outside linebacker. But then, unfortunately, she didn't play for the Bandits. And so that was one of the bummers. But I did add her on Facebook. She's been a Facebook friend ever since. And it's funny, just through social media, sometimes you can tell how much you get along with somebody or how much you have in common with somebody. And so that's kind of why I pursued her for an interview. Like I said, she lives in the Springs. She is a former track star, and she's a current therapist. She has two jobs that she works, but one of them is a therapist, and she's actually working on her doctorate in psychology, which is pretty fucking awesome. She's went much further than me in school, and so kudos to her for that. So without further ado, here is my interview with Miss C.G. Brown.
Seahawks podcast. TG, I know you're down there in the Springs. Hopefully you're well, but first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So first thing we're going to cover before I ask you your first question is just kind of how we know each other. So if my memory serves me correctly, you were one of the women that I met briefly. Unfortunately for me, it was brief. When you tried out for a football team that I was coaching, and I actually remembered you because I was impressed with you when you came to the tryout. I thought you were a really good athlete. I could see you playing possibly outside linebacker for my team and possibly starting. And so when I found out that you weren't going to be playing for my team, I was bummed out. But I won't hold that against you. I know you live in the Springs, and so no hard feelings there. That's how we know each other. You know, we became Facebook friends, and the reason I reached out to you for an interview, CG, is because, you know, like I was saying, we have a couple things in common. I used to be a psychology major myself. I know you went through a lot of schooling for psychology, and also I think you have a military background like myself. So the first question for you, CG, is just tell us your background, kind of whatever you're willing to share, you know, about kind of where you're from and your upbringing, as well as schooling and what you do for work, you know, whatever you're willing to share.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So I'm originally from Texas.
Okay.
You know, home of Beyonce and Megan Thee Stallion. So I actually went to college on a full track scholarship to the University of New Orleans. Mm. And once Hurricane Katrina hit, we kind of all got sent to different schools, but me, I went into the military.
Okay, you went in the Army, right?
Uh-huh, I went into the Army.
Gotcha. Okay.
So and track. Then, yeah.
Kind of rerouted you.
Track is my first love.
Okay. I like it.
So then, yeah, after that, I went into the military. I did 14 years, and then I got out, and I finished up my schooling in psychology, and then I went for my master's, and I'm now currently pursuing my doctorate degree.
Okay.
And awesome. I have a private practice down here in the Springs, Divine Six Therapy, but I work during the day on the military base at Peterson Air Force Base. And I'm like, do something totally, completely different than psychology out there. So it's kind of funny. But in the evening, you know, I get to live out my dream and do psychology.
Yeah, that's what's up. What do you say that's called? Divine what?
Divine Six Therapy.
Six Therapy, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I want to write that down so I can support you later. Okay, cool. All right, so you said you were in the Army for 14 years. That's many more years than I did. It's funny, man. I never really thought I would be in the military. I was always kind of like, you know, just didn't really think the military was for me. But you know, life goes unexpected, like you know, with Katrina.
Yeah.
And so I'm not gonna tell you the story of how I joined the military because I don't take up too much time in your interview, but I joined the Navy at the age of 28, and then I got out when I was 32, so I did 4 years, and then I was gonna re-up for my shore duty, but I think by the time my 4 years was up, I kind of had a rough go of it from a leadership standpoint, mm-hmm. and so that kind of ruined it for me. I was just kind of ready to be.
Yeah, you was over it.
Yeah, pretty much. And so it's funny. I tell people two of my best decisions I've ever made in my life was joining the military and also leaving the military. Those were both, you know what I'm saying? They were both the right decision at the time. And so
yeah, you got to do what's right for you.
Exactly. So yeah, I just did my little bare minimum 4 years, and then moved to Colorado afterwards. So I'm originally from Ohio. I was actually born in Dallas, Texas.
Hey.
I moved to Ohio when I was like 2 years old. So Ohio is pretty much what I remember. But yeah, I moved to Colorado after the military. I've been here ever since. So life is good. But yeah, so a couple things that come to mind so far is you said track was your first love. I'm not surprised that you were a track star because, you know, I definitely noticed how fast you were in the tryouts. But with the Katrina stuff, that actually, that's the third thing we have in common. So I never lived in the South, and, you know, luckily for me, you know, I wasn't around when Katrina happened, but I was pretty heavily into basically my church and a lot of Christian stuff at that time in my life. And there, I actually had the opportunity twice to go down to New Orleans and help people, you know, with the Katrina, like aftermath. And so that was really cool. I mean, as you know, it devastated the whole city, driving down blocks and seeing, you know, people's everything in their yards and stuff like that. Much what they told us that we needed to do was, like, go into these houses and basically, like, gut them, because that was the first step of them being able to basically assess whether or not the house was salvageable. And so that's what, you know, this Christian group that I was with did. But really cool experience. I got to meet some really cool people. And, you know, I think helping people is one of the highest callings you could have in life. And so that always, always felt good to me, but it was also a very humbling experience. You know what I mean? Like seeing that stuff, you know, in person can have a much more, a stronger effect on you.
It really can. And it's you know, being in the military, if you ever deployed and, you know, go to those third world countries, you see it over there, but to see it here, you know, in America, you're like, dang, like,
yeah.
It is very humbling. It makes you appreciate, like, the small things we take for granted in life.
Yeah, for sure. So that was good. I mean, I like those kind of things. I think the thing in my life that grounded me the most was when I had a little bit of a cancer scare when I was getting out of the military when I was 32. That was pretty much my wake-up call, you know, for kind of putting things into perspective, you know what I mean, as far as just for my life, you know, kind of what I've done so far and what I need to do and what I could have done and untapped potential and stuff like that. And so luckily I was cleared of cancer and I got to move on with my life, and I've done fairly well in Colorado. But yeah, that stuff is really important. I'm very thankful for the Katrina trips that I took. And those things, I think they're just important in general. I think if I was the president of the United States, I would make that stuff mandatory. I would say, like, you know what I mean? It's literally part of the law that by the age of whatever, 21, you need to take at least one trip to either a disaster or a third world country, just so you have some kind of sense of perspective, because a lot of people don't think. But I'm never going to be the president, so that's just pipe dreams.
Some people, even with that, they would find a way to, you know, flip the narrative and make it about how they're so much better off than, you know, those people. But people like that, they always, you know, karma always has a way of humbling them in life.
Yeah, you're right. So, I feel like, I don't mean to kiss your ass, CG, but I feel like you one-upped me in two different parts of my life. So I used to be a psychology major, and then I, like, switch majors from psychology to social work. And so you not only didn't give up on psychology like I did, but you're, like, in the process of getting your doctorate, which is, you know, the top of the top. So kudos to you.
Thank you. But social work is just as important, though.
Yeah.
we walk that journey hand in hand.
That's true. We are in the same ballpark. And then the other thing would be, oh, the military. So you were in for 14 years. I was in for 4 years. So I was in pretty much, you know, the bare minimum. How was your journey in the military? Like what, you know what I mean? Were you enlisted, officer? What was your experience?
I started out enlisted. Mm-hmm. And then when I got out, I went to the National Guard, and I did. I switched over to, you know, do warrant officer. But it was like, honestly, I have, like, nothing negative to say about the military. Like, it has brought me some of, like, the best friends in my life. And, you know, a family I got to choose. You know, they always say you can't choose your family. But in this case, it was like I met some of the most amazing people who've had like such a great impact on me, and the military has afforded me with so many opportunities. Like, I'll forever be grateful for, you know, that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't look at the military as a bad thing. I definitely don't regret, like I said, it was one of the best decisions joining the military. I think in a, you know, in a perfect world, I would have had a little bit better of experience.
And if you'd have came in the Army, yeah.
And maybe, hypothetically.
Just kidding. But I was just saying.
Yeah. So, no, there's definitely, I don't regret it. I've made, like you said, some lifelong friends. I'm going to talk to one of my buddies from Arkansas tonight. And, you know, he'll probably be a friend for me for life. And I met him in the Navy. So definitely don't regret it. I think if I had a different experience, I definitely would have at least done my shore duty. That would have been 8 years. I wanted to go to, like, Japan or Italy before I decided to get out. And so coulda, woulda, shoulda. But I did go on.
You can still go, though. You can still go.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was on...
You would have got to go for free, you know.
Right. a little more pricey. Yeah, so So as it sits right now, I went on 2 deployments when I was in the Navy. My ship, I was on an aircraft carrier, so we went over to, you know, kind of the Gulf Coast, and we stopped at ports like in Bahrain and Dubai, Italy, Greece, Spain, Portugal, Turkey. So what was your experience as far as deployments and where you're stationed and stuff like that?
So as far as station, I was stationed. I had 2 duty stations.
Yeah.
I had Fort Eustis, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And then I had Fort Hood, Texas. Oh, I lied. I had Korea, too.
Okay.
But deployments, Iraq and Afghanistan.
Gotcha.
I've been there 3 times. Yeah.
So what did you think of Virginia?
I love Virginia. You know, they say VA is for lovers.
They do say
that. I love Virginia.
So it was cool when you were stationed in Texas because you were close to family, right?
Oh, most definitely. I used to, like, drive home from Fort Hood. At the time, my parents lived in Cameron, Texas, a really small town in Texas. If you watch, I know you watch football, but Dede Westbrook plays for the Jaguars. He's from there. Yeah.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, Cameron's like a little football town, like Friday Night Lights.
So you said you were also stationed in Korea?
Uh-huh. I was in Korea. I was in Wijambo, Camp Red Cloud.
Hmm. How long were you there for?
I was in Korea for a year. Only did the year tour, and then I got out after that.
Okay. So what was your thoughts on that country? You know, the one time you were outside of the U.S.?
Korea, so I loved, like, their culture over there and, like, just the food. I think I ate so much over there. But I was, like, really didn't get, like, super, you know, fat like you would think you would get, because a lot of the food was, like, really healthy.
Hmm.
And I just like just going, getting on the train, just riding, looking at, like, the countryside and everything.
Mm.
And then, of course, the soju. We all go for the soju.
So there, you ate a lot of food, but you didn't get fat. So that's
no, I know. Probably because I hung out with a lot of people that were, like, gym freaks and stuff. So
yeah.
It wasn't like I could, like, just party super hard and get drunk, because I knew they was wanting to go to the gym the next day, and I'm just like, I hate it here. Like, why do y'all do this? I'm like, did y'all not eat the same thing I ate yesterday? Why are we up going to the gym right now? Didn't we just get home, like, 2 hours ago? So, yeah, it was fun.
So you said that you do the Divine Six Therapy. Then you do something else that's totally different. So what is that, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so I actually do like budgeting and contracts. So, you know, that's like completely different. And I hate math. That's the bad part about it. But I seem to be good at it. I hate math, but I'm good at it. But, you know, don't come after me to tutor y'all, because you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Go to purplemath.com or something.
So you're good at it. You just don't enjoy it.
All right.
So what do you say it is, budgets and?
Budgets and contracting.
Oh. So what do you mean by that? Like, spell it
so
out.
I can like kind of give you like a general summary without, you know, exposing it. So basically it's like they have a set budget. Like say they give a unit $6 million. Mm-hmm. So basically they tell me kind of what they need. And, you know, we just make a budget from there. Like, okay, we're going to spend it on this or spend it on that. And then after we do all that, then we go out to these vendors and like, you know, get contracts with them first. You know, of course, I'm going to negotiate the price. I know this is what you said, but
tell the credit card dealers.
Look at this. But yeah, I'd be haggling.
Oh man, I respect it.
Be like, let's look at this. Gotta save, you know, save on the damn little bit of money.
So about it, yeah. Help me help you.
Exactly.
Okay, well that's pretty cool. Hypothetical there is like, let's say you have $6 million for a project. You know what things you need to get done in that project. Then you're going to different vendors that can do those jobs and figure out who's going to be your vendor based on, the best deal, how you get along with them.
Most cost efficient to the government, and then, you know, the quality of work. I don't just go for the cheapest one. I always, you know, look at, okay, quality.
Yeah, the reviews and stuff.
Yeah, reviews and. If I know, like, somebody else used them, I ask them, like, hey, how was your experience with these guys?
Right.
Yeah. Like then, you got to make them work for your money, too. I'd be like, well, you said this much, but they were telling me that they'll do this and give us free maintenance for a year. You know, you got to bluff it a little bit. You got to bluff.
Oh, man. Man, you are a handful. I see that. No, I respect it, man. That's the way to do it. Like, so when you say that stuff, is it like always factual, or do you make it up sometimes?
Like going out, no. Sometimes it'd be factual, but when I tell them, like, as far as when it comes to like the maintenance and warranties,
yeah.
Oh, I'd be bluffing that.
Because
you know, if they give you a low price, they're gonna get their money out of you somehow with that maintenance package.
Yeah,
just like at the car dealership, they're like, oh, I'm giving it to you for, you know, the dealer's rate. No, you got to get it back when you sell me this. 6-year maintenance warranty. I'm confused. Or what I need done on my car is not covered by this warranty.
Mm-hmm.
How they get you?
Man, ain't that the truth? I had to buy. So I drove my 2003 Honda Civic from Charles Station in Virginia, like you, from Norfolk, Virginia, to Denver. Like just drove it one way, and believe it or not, I minimized all my belongings into one car. Drove it here, had an apartment picked out downtown, moved in, got here on a Friday, had an interview on Monday, and the rest is history. But I had that car forever, right? Like I bought it after a deployment, paid cash for it, or paid it off before I moved here, I should say. And so, Honda Civics last forever. So I had that for like a hot minute. Well, just mm-hmm. this past year, I started having car issues. And I'm like, oh, man, my luck has finally ran out. It had like 180K miles on it. So,
oh, like, wow.
It is what it is. You know what I mean? It's that time. So I started looking for cars, and I knew I wanted to get a Honda CR-V because I'm a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for those. And, man, that process was not fun. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was raised by my mom. And so I don't know that much about vehicles. And so going into some place and, you know what I'm saying, just basically not getting ripped off,
mm-hmm.
it's just really tough. So the good news is I got a vehicle that I'm happy with. I didn't get the prices I wanted, but I think that's, you know, very rare that you get the price you want for the vehicle you want. So there's a give and take there. But, yeah, the whole thing you're talking about with your other job reminds me of going to that car dealership, you know what I mean, because... Like you said, they might tell you have a good deal, but then there's some warranties added in. And like you said, they're going to get their money one way or another. So that's just the harsh truth.
You know it.
Yeah, for sure.
They always do.
Yeah. So let's talk about school, CG. I've never been a fan of school. ironically, I am a fan of learning, especially as I get older. I've really kind of grown a passion for learning and just evolving as a person. But school was never, it never went smooth for me. Let's put it that way. And so, real quick, my background. So I went to school for psychology. I was a senior psychology major at a D3 school in Ohio. And then out of nowhere, I just felt like I needed to move on. I can't explain it. I just did. And so everything was very like comfortable there. I had a lot of good friends. I had two jobs that wouldn't fire me. Everything was fine. But for some reason, I just felt like it was time to move on. So I started researching places I could move. And I ended up moving to Parkersburg, West Virginia, where my buddy lived. And I was like, well, I'll just go to school there. There's this place called Ohio Valley University. I'll finish my psychology degree there. And I'll, you know, Hakuna Matata. Well, the one thing I didn't check, CG, was I didn't check to see if my credits would transfer. So when so I get there for orientation. They're like, yeah, so with the credits that transferred, you're going to be a sophomore.
What?
I'm like, nope. I sure am not going to be a sophomore. So, yeah, I'd already been in school for like 6 years because I went part-time and stuff and kind of just was my own worst enemy. So being a sophomore psychology major at Ohio Valley was not going to happen. So that's kind of, that was the crossroads, how I kind of stumbled into the military. And then when I got out and I moved here, I started going to Metro State here in Denver. And when I was at the veteran orientation, somebody asked me if I ever thought about social work. And I'm like, well, why would I think about that? And they're like, well, I saw that you're a psychology major. And, you know, as you know, people that have bachelors in psychology can't do a lot with that. But the thing with social work is not only can you do some stuff with a bachelor's in social work, but you also can do almost anything with a master's in social work. And the kicker for me was...
Yeah, you can actually do therapy.
Yeah, yeah. So the kicker for me was, since I was so tired of school, they told me that if you do your master's full-time, you can knock it out in 1 year. And I'm like, where do I sign? So I switched over to social work. And then ironically, I became a senior social work major. And then, you know, the senioritis got to me again. And I found out that my job at Kaiser Permanente currently, I make more at that job than I would with my master's in social work. And so then I was like, So I know with all these internship hours how this senior year is about to look and then how my master's is about to look. Do I really want to go through all that to be paid less and, you know, get more college loans and, you know, all that stuff? And obviously the answer was no. So, so I'm working my same job. You know, it's, I'm very blessed to have it. It pays well, good benefits, yada, yada. So for me, CG, I'm just trying to find other ways to fill my purpose, right? So I feel like my purpose on earth is to help people. So whether that be coaching or through my friendships or through my podcast, I feel like there's other avenues you can use to get that done. And so that's what I'm trying to do. So, so that's my word vomit about my school journey. So as it pertains to you, you said you're working on your psychology doctorate right now. So you said you get to do part-time, which your dream is, which is psychology. So what is that? Is that like, is it therapy? Is it like sessions? Like what exactly do you do with Divine Six Therapy that you mentioned?
Yeah, so I actually do, I get to do therapy, and then I actually have like a few contracts with some of the like local places around here, like Griffith Children's Center. I know they have one up in Denver, too. We have a office up there in Aurora. Mm-hmm. And with that, I can do like supervised visitation, therapy. So right now I'm doing one supervised visitation case. And then I do family therapy and then adolescent therapy and play therapy. I kind of tend to like, you know, adolescents and children better. And I don't say that because, like, I love, you know, human interaction, period. But I say that because, like, kids, like, their minds aren't, you know, fully developed and just the things they say, you're, like, so amazed at. I'm like, at your age, I was eating, like, dirt and stuff. You know, I wasn't sitting here having an intelligent conversation or knew how to operate an iPad or iPhone. Like, these kids are so intelligent these days, you know?
For sure.
But it's like, I just love it. Because then I also feel like if you can catch stuff, you know, at a younger age in kids, like certain behaviors, then, you know, we could possibly steer them from something like becoming just, you know, an out-of-control adult. You know, you gotta train them up from when they are a child.
Yep, that's right. That's another thing we have in common then. When I was a psychology major, I pretty much decided the way that I picked psychology, because at first I didn't know what to pick for a major at all. Like, I was completely lost. The way that I picked that major was, I was like, okay, I'm going to start with, like a mission statement, like what I want to do with my life. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to try to match that mission statement with an occupation that can do that. So my mission statement was, I want to help as many people as I can before I die. So then I thought about different occupations that do that. And, of course, you know, you think of, like, doctors and, you know, firemen and police officers, whatever, you know what I'm saying, just different stuff. And the only one that I could see myself doing was like a therapist or a psychologist or something like that. Cause I could see myself talking to people and sitting down and helping people that way. Cause I'm decently well spoken. I have a decent people skills and most people get along with me. So that one kind of jived with me the most out of the options. That's how I picked it. Well, then I thought about, like, okay, what do you want to focus on? It's like, you know, well, you've already went through the schooling. So you know how in the very beginning when they're doing Psychology 101 and they ask the students kind of like, what would you want your focus to be? Would you want to focus on kids? Would you want to focus on elderly people or couples or, you know, whatever, marriages? And so I thought about it and I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I want to focus on kids. And they asked me why. And I said, pretty much what you said. I said, well, with kids, there's, like you said, they're still developing. They're still trying to figure out who they are. And so if you, you know, as people get older, as you know, I'm you know, preaching to the choir right now, but as people get older, they get more set in their ways and it becomes harder for them to kind of adapt and change their behavior to make their lives better. So if you can get them early, like you said, you can really be that positive influence in their life, whether it be, for me, since I'm a guy, you know, a lot of people don't have dads or they don't have a positive male influence in their life. And so I know that, you know, for social work, male social workers are very needed. But, I just thought that would be awesome for me to kind of fill that void for some kids and be a positive influence and just help as many kids as I can, because a lot of kids are kind of trying. It's such a critical time of their life where they can really go left or right. And you can be part of the reason that they go the right way. And so I feel like, what more important job can you have? And so I'm completely in agreement with you that, you know, therapy as it pertains to kids is some of the most important stuff you can do. Obviously, everybody needs help, but the kids are the most moldable. So I totally agree.
They are.
So you said you did adolescent, children, and play therapy. What other stuff did you list? Is that most of it?
Yeah, and I work with, you know, some military members that have, like, PTSD.
Okay.
But something I'm, like, really looking into, possibly, like, getting more certification in is, like, working with, and I know a lot of people that major in psychology, you could probably attest to this. Everybody has that stigma about working with sex offenders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking to get more educated on it. Like, not, you know, count it out, but I would like to be more educated before I, like, took on a case, you know, with a sex offender.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's important stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people with different stories, a lot of people with different experiences, and
right.
I don't know if you're familiar with Joe Rogan's podcast. but his podcast has literally changed my life. And so when I've heard him talk about things, I'll share one thing with you. So he said that as he's like, he's had his podcast for years, it's like number four podcast in the world. So as he's like had all these guests on and he's learned more about people, what he's pretty much changed his perspective to is that when he sees somebody basically being an asshole, right? If you see somebody being a bad person or doing something wrong or being an asshole, instead of him just looking at it at face value and saying that person's an asshole, he instead looks at them and in his mind says, like, that person used to be a baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that person used to be a baby, and then when they were a baby, all of their life experiences added up to what you're seeing right now. So whether that be how they were raised, a lack of how they were raised, if they had, you know, poor influences growing up, you know, whatever it is, it's all like a cumulative effect to what you see in front of you. And so I love a lot of things about Joe Rogan, but that's one of them. I love that that's his perspective, especially when he's dealing with people that are difficult. So I think it's really easy to just be annoyed by somebody. Yeah, exactly. Like,
and just be like, I'm not dealing with that.
Exactly. And especially, you're a little bit younger than me, but especially as I get older, I notice that I have less patience for certain things. So it's makes me a little bit nervous, because I'm like, man, if I'm, you know, not even 40 yet and I'm already getting real irritated by certain things on social media.
Right. I get like that sometimes too, because I'm like at a point sometimes where I'm like, okay, we're too old to keep telling people to stop doing stuff, you know, that either bothers us or they know it's going to, you know, upset the general populace. But some people is just like, they get like a thrill out of it, you know, like,
yeah,
oh, I'm going to go stir the pot. And I'm like, sometimes you got to be careful, because when that pot boil over, you might get burnt. Like that.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for.
Exactly. And I just sometimes I don't like when people get to talking. Like, one thing I realized on Facebook, that you will never like get your point across or win an argument with is politics and religion and football. Like, those are three of the most touchiest subjects on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, people will block and defriend you over the smallest things.
Oh,
but
man,
I'm just like, you know what? I just tell people I'm going to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That's smart.
That's smart. You got to protect your energy. You got to choose your battles. And a lot of battles aren't worth fighting. So.
Not at all. You know that the saying, be careful arguing with an idiot, because somebody looking, you know, off at a distance just sees two idiots arguing.
That's hilarious.
So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay.
You gotta be mindful of who you keep company with, for sure.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of these companies nowadays, like, they have people that, like, you know, go in and scan your social media just to see if you're, like, saying something outrageous or something crazy or, you know, something that's, you know, potentially detrimental to the company. So you just have to be really careful about what you say on the web. Like, everybody thinks, well, I believe this status. Let me tell you, somebody got that screenshot somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
They got that screenshot.
Yeah. That's the thing about social media. Even if you made a stupid status, and, like you said, you deleted it, if somebody screenshot it, then that's out there forever. I mean.
Exactly. Just like people that, you know, they're like all into like doing very good things in their life. Like these celebrities, like let's take Kevin Hart, for example. You know, he was supposed to host the Oscars that one year, and then somebody went and dug up him making, you know, homophobic quotes like years ago. And, you know, like, wow, you have to be really careful, because sometimes people do not want to see you win. They don't want to see you do good, regardless of what you're trying to do or who you are. There's just some people out there that are like, nope.
Isn't that crazy? That's crazy to me.
Like, man, I believe people can change, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I mostly agree with that. Like, sometimes when people get older, like past a certain age, I kind of feel like if they would have changed, they would have done it by now. And so I know it sounds harsh to call certain people like lost causes, but I believe in, like, there's this one phrase that people say, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what I mean? It's not like somebody makes a mistake and you just write them off. But if they just show you time and time again that they're a person of low character, then guess what? They might just be a person of low character. And then you have to decide whether or not a person of low character is somebody you want in your life or not. And so, but it's tough. I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, no, it most definitely is. You know, I just realized, I just had to teach myself, like, don't trip on things I can't change, because that energy I could be investing in something more substantial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, what you said about things to avoid, makes me laugh, things to avoid being religion, politics, and football. So not only do I completely agree, but I've actually had experience with that. So I think I shared something on social media, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. And all it was, TG, was it was just something positive about Donald Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was something that he did that was positive. It might have been for the military, I don't remember, but it was something that was positive. So since on social media we see so many bad things about him, I was like, okay, well, this is something that's positive. I'm going to share it because we don't see enough positive about him. You know what I mean? Just to even it out. TG, you would have thought that I was like the devil's like reincarnation. Like the way people
you automatically became like a racist.
Oh, everything you can think of. Yeah. Fill in the blank, baby.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. God, it was wild.
It's crazy. It's like that's why I just steer from it. Like, I have my views on everything.
Of course.
There's never gonna be a perfect president or a perfect, you know, vice president or governor. There's never going to be a perfect nothing, because they're inheriting a mess that, you know, the person before them tried to clean up a little bit, and then the other person tried to clean up a little bit. And then, you know, you got a few that messed it all up, you know,
no, and tried
to clean that up. Right.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's like an inherited mess. I always look at myself like, you know what? Yeah, he says some crazy things, but at the end of the day, we're all human, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, that's between him and God. That's all I be saying. That's between him and God. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I just be like, you know what? I'm just going to try to live my life and do my part to make this world a little bit better. And I just don't have that energy to focus on that. It's like, okay, I always was a firm believer, like, if we're not doing nothing to try to change it, then I'm not going to speak on it. If I'm not actively doing something to try to, you know, make something better, then I'm not going to, you know, speak on it.
To move forward or make progress.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm not going to speak on it, but it's just like, everybody just wants to see just negative in people regardless. Mm. Like, not even just him, just anybody. They just want to see the bad. It's like, you can do all this good in your life, and then you do one bad thing, and people are going to, like, hold it against you forever. Just like, prime example, Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul, when he passed away, everybody, you know, talks about how good of a person he was, but it was those two, three people that just had to bring up, you know, the thing that happened here in Colorado when the girl, the young lady accused him of rape and everything. They just have to, like, bring that up to, like, tarnish everything that he's done.
Yeah.
Since then, I'm like, oh my God, maybe that man went and asked God for forgiveness, you know, asked that woman for forgiveness, or whatever happened between them two, you know, that's between him, his wife, and God. Like, we don't have to stand before, you know, on Judgment Day and answer to that, but people just want to see the negative. They're going to always find something negative in you. Like, even if, like, say we got arrested tomorrow for something, and they have our mugshot, you know, on Facebook plastered. Somebody's going to be like, this how they do you. The media does it too. They'll have all this great stuff about you. You know, Terry is, you know, a coach. He's this outstanding person. He has this wonderful podcast. And then they're going to have why you got arrested and just tear you down. And you'll be like, damn.
Yeah, that's kind of harsh.
I see that. And I'm just like, you know what? Why can't we just focus on the good? I always, like, even if somebody do something bad, I don't focus on it, because if I focus on it, then yeah, it's going to cause you not to like that person. But you, I always try to like hunt the good in people, and that's probably like, you know, sometimes a downfall in me. Because like you said, sometimes some people be a lost cause, but you just want to see the good. I just be hunting the good stuff. Then after a while, when the person just keeps burning you, you be like, all right, I get it. I get it.
You're like, I tried.
I get it. I'm going to let this one go. I tried. You can't save everybody. You know
right,
that song.
Sure.
Don't save her. She don't want to be saved. Some people are like that. You just can't save them.
Some people don't want to be saved.
They don't.
Literally. Like they're like, I'm good where I'm at. I like being miserable. I like being
the best. Listen, I'm telling you, look. Like people that are like broken and don't want to be like, they don't never want to heal, because broken gets your attention.
Mm. That's true. That's deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think of like that phrase, broken or hurt people hurt people.
Oh, most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you just see somebody being an asshole or, whatever, you know, just certain people around them. But what is the reason? Like, there's a good chance that that person doesn't wake up in the morning and be like, who am I going to hurt today? But, you know, they end up doing it. So there's just a lot more going on that you can see with the naked eye. And so,
Almost definitely. Like, I'm the first person when I see somebody just being like a complete jerk, I'd be like, who hurt you?
Yeah,
that's like my first word. I'm like, who hurt you? I'm trying to understand this. Like, come on, you did. I know, like you said, but I think it's some people that wake up, like the birds could be chirping, the sun can be, you know, shining in on them. It could be a nice temperature in their room, and they go wake up and just be like, oh, that fucking sun woke me up, shining in my eye.
Yeah, just
cold in this room. You be like, damn, you woke up. Like, be grateful.
Yeah. That reminds me of another phrase that I love. I heard somebody say, no matter if you're looking for good or bad, you'll find it.
Oh, yeah. Always.
You know what I'm saying? So basically, whatever you're looking for, you'll find it regardless. So if you're trying to find the bad, you're going to find it.
That's why I love to hunt the good stuff, because if you're hunting the good stuff, you know, you kind of skip over that bad stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a better way to be. I kind of wish I could be like you in that way, because that is, I feel like it's more of a positive and optimistic way to live life. I think for me, some of the stuff that I battle with, not that we're in therapy right now, but, you know, I think that I had some stuff, you know, kind of passed down to me through my family that was kind of like having a critical spirit to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And so having that critical spirit, I kind of have to keep that in check. You know what I mean? Because I don't want it to come off a certain way. I don't want it to come off like I'm better than somebody or, you know, whatever, just condescending. But I do have high standards, right? I was raised a certain way, and I think there's, you know, I have certain standards, and I think they're pretty reasonable. But there's this thing that I shared on Facebook like a month ago that you would have loved. You probably didn't see it, but I shared it. Somebody else shared it, and then I shared it from them. But it said something about, like, I think it said something like, stop expecting you and others.
You from people. I shared that.
Oh, okay. I might have shared it from you then. But that's so powerful, CG. Like, I've never seen that in my life. But when you really think about it, that's exactly the mistake I've made my whole life.
But it's true, though, because if we, like, expect everybody to, you know, be, like, the type of person you are, if you're like a sincere, kind, and, you know, giving person, and you're just expecting that automatically from people and they don't do it, then you get disappointed. That's why you, like, I'm not saying have low expectations of people, but just always, like, you know how they say, I don't like the saying, but, you know, people say, like, prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
Yeah, that's a smart way to do it.
I just look at it like, okay, I'm gonna just be positive if I can be, you know. You know, they always say not to be, like, super religious, but praise confuses the enemy. Like, if you're just, like, so positive sometimes, it's hard for a person to just be rude or be negative to you. Like, I always say, like,
yeah,
I just tell myself every morning, like, if I smile more often, it's going to confuse somebody approaching me with a frown. They're going to be like, what the hell is she smiling at? And they're going to want to figure it out.
what's she so happy about?
Right.
That's funny.
It's just like, even, you know, you just meet some people, they're just like negative Neds, negative Nancys. And I just like, I know I get on some people's nerves. I just try to be positive. They just be like, oh, I'm having a bad day. I'd be like, but be grateful to have this day. Because there was somebody that went to sleep last night that thought they was going to have this day and they didn't wake up.
Man.
I'd like, you got to be thankful. Like, I refuse to like wake up and have like negative thoughts all day, and it's like a whole day wasted being negative when you could have been doing something to change that.
It is. And momentum's a real thing. So whether you have positive momentum or negative momentum, it starts in the morning, and then your whole day can unravel that way. So for me, I think this cancer scare helped me a lot with perspective, but it also helped me be grateful. So the way I kind of live my life, you know, post cancer scare, was just that I'm going to mindfully wake up every single day with a grateful heart, right? The first thing I'm going to think in the morning is how grateful I am to be alive, how grateful I am to have a roof over my head. I mean, I could talk for half an hour about all the things I'm grateful for. Just being grateful, right?
Yeah.
Not grateful on paper, grateful in your heart about everything that you have every day, and really meaning that. I think that if you're truly grateful every single day, it's hard to have a bad day, period.
It most definitely is. Like
cancels it out. You know what I mean?
A lot of people don't know this, but my mom's in stage 4 cancer. She has stage 4 cancer. She has oral cancer. And, she's in constant pain every day. But the thing I love so much about her is that no matter how much pain she is in, like, she still gets up and cooks my dad's meal. Still, you know, irons his clothes. Like, just, like, I think that keeps her going. Just knowing, okay, I'm going to still be in my routine. Like, and, you know, sometimes it's, like, hard for her to, you know, hold the iron, or she'll get tired from, you know, the movement of the iron going back and forth. But it's, like, she doesn't complain. And, like, you know, sometimes I have my moments where I get really sad. Like, why her? Like, she's, like, you know, the sweetest person in the world. Like, why was she, you know, cursed with this disease, you know, to get cancer? But I'm, like, you know what? The saying rang true to me. Like, God knows who to give his toughest battles too, because a normal person finding out they had stage 4 cancer would have gave up and they'd have been dead in like 3 or 4 months. He's been rocking this thing out for 2 years now, and it's just like, you know, and she can no longer talk, but you know, she like texted me and she told me, she was like, look, cancer gonna come have to knock on this door and drag me out, because I'm not going out without a fight. And you know, it's crazy, because every time she goes to the doctor, they're like, oh, it's spreading or it's getting worse. And, you know, none of the chemo or nothing's working, but she doesn't, like, give up. Like, she doesn't lose
faith,
like, unwavering. And I'm just like, wow. And I'm like, you know what? That's for the more reason for me to wake up and be grateful every day. Like, I'm like, I can't sit here and be sad and be crying. That's not what she's doing. You know, she's not sitting there crying all day. I'm like, so I'm going to live my life to the fullest and, you know, always tell people how you feel about them. Like, hey, I love you. Or, you know, I just realized, because tomorrow isn't promised to anybody.
That's right.
And that's why it sometimes like irks me. And I'm like trying to figure people out. Like, why are you so negative? Like, you woke up this morning.
You don't want to shake them, like, you could be gone tomorrow.
You're
matter.
In good health. Wake I'm up. Like, it's somebody right now that wish they had, you know, that they could be complaining about stuff like, oh, I still got to go to work. I'm like, you still have a job. A lot of people, you know, due to this quarantine, they're like, you know, they're out of work, and unemployment hasn't came through for a lot of people. I'm just like, I'm grateful that I'm in a position where I can telework, you know, still. I'm not missing paychecks, not missing meals, but it's people out there that are. And some of those people aren't even complaining, you know. They're just happy to be spending this time with their family. It's like they are truly seeing that silver lining.
Mm. Yeah, I think two of the most important things in life is being grateful and also not only perspective, but I was thinking, like, if you're grateful, you can't have a pity party for yourself, right? Because you're too busy being grateful. Like, you don't, like you said, you don't go down the negative thing about why me, or, you know, I don't have this or that. Like, if you really have perspective of how grateful we should be and how blessed we are and how fortunate we are, like, if you really take that to the as far as you can go mentally, like, you literally could spend, like, a half an hour in the morning thinking about it. Like, just...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To the degree... I mean, your mom's a perfect example of how things could be and how people don't have everything that we just take for granted. So us as Americans, I mean, you know, don't get me started, but, like, when I'm thinking about, you know, people in other countries that don't have drinkable water, people that don't have health care, people that, you know, if they get a flu, they could die. Like, there's just so many things, CG, and once again, I'm preaching to the choir, but, like, there's just so many things to be grateful for, that for me to waste my time being annoyed about something or being negative about something or letting somebody mess up my day, miss me with that, man. Miss me with that, because, like, it's not worth it. Like, how many times is somebody, you know, disagreeing about football or disagreeing about religion or disagreeing about politics, is that worth my day? You know what I mean? I used to make that mistake when I was younger. I'm a hardcore Browns fan, right? Like, hardcore. You're from Texas. You know how that is. Like, I bleed, you know, orange and brown. Like, I care about my team. Uh-huh. I watch every game. When they lose, I care. But when I was younger, when the Browns would lose, it would literally mess up my mood for the whole day, right? And then eventually I got to a point where I was like, okay, caring about the Browns losing is okay, but letting it mess up my entire day might be taking it too far. So you need to...
My brothers were like that. Like, they're like diehard Cowboy fans, right?
Yeah.
And they would, like, be so, and even my pops, they would be, like, so upset when they would lose. And I'd be like, y'all are not on the roster. You're not getting a paycheck. Like, why are you so upset?
And you were just annoying to them. They're like, we don't want to hear you.
Yeah, they're like, you don't understand it. You don't understand it. I'm like,
you don't get it.
How are you letting this alter your mood? Did you bet some money on this game? I can see, you know, why you'd be upset. But it's like, come on now. Like, snap out of it. I'm like, you live to see another Sunday.
Yeah.
Don't play again. Like, I don't know. That just used to kill me. I used to be like, why are they so upset? And even, like, playing Madden, they will, like, get so upset and butthurt.
Yeah.
I feel like, this is fake. Like, real fake.
You're like, this isn't even real.
Right. Like, why are you upset again? Why are you mad right now? Like, this is not real.
You know, it's funny.
Like, to the point, they be ready to, like, fight. They be crying, all kinds of stuff.
Like, for real heated. Yeah. No, I've been there. I mean, not to the point where I want to fight, but I've been heated over a video game before, which I'm not proud of, but it's the truth. So I'm a little bit like your brothers. But, yeah, it's funny, CG. Like I said, we became Facebook friends after you tried out for the team. And then the reason I asked you for an interview is because just from your Facebook posts, I could tell that me and you were on the same wavelength. And I think you're much smarter than me. You've been to much more school than me.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you were in the military longer than me. You're further along than me in a lot of different things, but our basic wavelength of mentally where we're at in life and how we think about things is very similar. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, shoot, give me an hour with her. That'll be therapy without having tried to be therapy.
So look, I'll tell you this. When it comes to wisdom, it's a quote I live by since I was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
And it's an Albert Einstein quote, and it's, wisdom is not a product of schooling, but of the lifelong attempt to acquire it. So it's not how much school I have, but it's all about your attempt, you know, that lifelong attempt to acquire wisdom. So I never, like, think, oh, I'm smarter than somebody just because, you know, I went to school longer than them, because I feel like life is the best teacher of all of us.
You know? Yeah, it's very true.
Some of these tests we get in life, we can't study for.
Yeah, I appreciate your humbleness for sure. But yeah, it's funny. I was pretty certain that me and you would get along very well if we got to talk to each other. And so that's cool that I was right. I usually am pretty good guesser of that. But one thing I wanted to share with you is, I told you that I had a social media experience about how I could relate to having, remember I was telling you about the Trump thing where I shared something mm-hmm. Positive? Well, the reaction to that was so dramatic, right? It was like all these people assuming that I was a Trump supporter, assuming that I was a racist, assuming that, you know, whatever, fill in the blank about people that think certain things about Trump. There was people that unfriended me. Like, it was just ridiculous, CG. So I saw that reaction. I was like, wow. And I just, like, sat and thought about it. I was like, wow, that's crazy that it was that much, that visceral. You know what I mean? It was that much of a dramatic reaction. So I said, okay. So I want to share something with you. I started this podcast back in September of last year. And there's another idea I had with the podcast that I want to pursue. My aim date was August of this year, but that was going to be after football, and now football's not happening, so who knows. But I'm going to give you the idea, and I just want to hear what your feedback is, because I think it's something you'd appreciate. So my idea is something called the Summit. What the Summit is it's a intentional meeting of two different people from opposing viewpoints. And so the first one's going to be pro-Trump versus anti-Trump based on my experience. And then there's a whole list. You know what I mean? It's, you know, a Christian versus an atheist. It's a, you know, a Republican versus a Democrat, a, you know, pro-abortion versus anti-abortion. Like, there's a whole long list of things that people disagree about, right? Mm-hmm. So my first one's going to be pro-Trump versus anti-Trump. So the structure of it, let me give you the structure so you get an idea. It's going to be at a public place, hopefully that has security. And then
you're going to need that.
Yeah. So I'm going to be the mediator. My intention is for it to be live so people can watch it, that it's live. It's not pre-recorded. It's not edited. You know what I mean? It's just, it is what it is. So the format of it would be these two people would apply, for the two different positions. I would interview them, make sure that they're a good candidate. And then once they actually come to the place for the summit, the format would be that when it starts, they have to shake hands. It's not debatable. They have to. And when it ends, they have the option of either shaking hands or hugging each other. And they're going to sign their name agreeing to that. And then for the actual summit, we're going to start with, each person's background. So if it was, you know, CG versus Bill, say, okay, so I'm the mediator. I'm the guy kind of running the show. I would say, okay, CG, please tell us your background. Tell us, you know, where you're from. Most importantly, tell us kind of what about you led you to the beliefs that you have about this subject, right? And then when you're telling your story, Bill, shut up. Okay? So then when CG is done, now it's Bill's turn. And Bill tells his story, right? And it kind of humanizes him, and it lets people know where he's from, how he was raised, and what kind of led to what his beliefs are. And then from there would be seven talking points that I've already picked out beforehand. And we'd ask each person, seven questions. And here's where it gets tricky. So each person has 10 minutes to talk. Okay. So if, let's say the first question is about global warming. So CG talks for 10 minutes. During your 10 minutes, there's certain ground rules. So one ground rule is you can curse, but you can't curse at somebody. So the difference would be you can say F that, but not F you, right? So no disrespectful, abusive language towards the other person. You also, this is a tricky one, you can't interrupt the other person. So if a person's talking, like if it's your 10 minutes to talk for CG, and that person interrupts you three times, well, guess what? When it's Bill's turn to talk, now he has 7 minutes, not 10 minutes. And those things are cumulative. So if he interrupts you three times the first time, then two times the second time, Now he's down to 5 minutes and just keeps on going down. And if he can't shut up, he's going to end up with no time at the end, which is his own fault, right? So then that's it, pretty much. They get 7 talking points, 10 minutes apiece. You get less time if you can't follow the rules. And then at the end, my hope for the summit project is that at the very least, they just get to vent to each other. They get to vent as that's the person, you know, representing the other side, and they get to just speak their mind. Best case scenario, they get to find a middle ground where they can say, okay, I see where you're coming from, and I've actually learned something tonight, and I can be a little bit less hateful to the other side. So that's my idea. So what do you think of it?
I think having, because I've been to a few summits, so I think, you know, having a summit like that idea, especially like, you know, now in this day and age, it's pretty good. I would say, too, even if you could, like, bring maybe 3 people from each side so they can ask questions, too, because it gets away from that thing of people, like, you know, having, like, preconceived thoughts. Like, if you give them 7 talking points, they already, you know, have what they're going to say. But if you fire something off to a person and you get a raw, uncut, and truthful answer, and I think by doing that, that'll bring them better to, like, have a middle ground. They'll see, like, you know, maybe it'll change their perspective. Whereas then if I give you, you know, a script, in a sense, you're going to memorize that thing front and back, have your little, you know, talking points. But if you have some stuff that's, you know, off script, I think it shows the human side, and it's real people asking real questions, because a lot of people just, they don't do their research on things. Like, they just take something they see and run with it on social media, or are quick to repost it. They don't actually do the research before,
it's,
you know,
lazy.
Repost stuff. Yeah, like you said, lazy. Like, I'm very seldom you will catch me reposting, like, anything political, for the simple fact I could read something on somebody's page, but if I didn't go research it and make sure, you know, it's true, I'm just, you know, reading it and scrolling along. I'm not going to repost it without, you know, doing some research.
Yeah, I respect that. So my idea, I've already thought of that. So my idea for that, CG, is the 7 talking points, I'm not going to tell them what they are.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
You feel me? So they're not going to have any way to, like, write some notes or have it prepared. Like, it's just going to be all off the top. And so that's my idea for that. But, yeah, overall, you like the idea? You think it could be good?
Oh, yeah, I think it could be great. Could be something.
Yeah, I think that, like, that's kind of what we need in our society, because social media is the opposite of that. Social media is, like, you know, just, like, people baiting each other, putting out, you know, all the stuff that supports their side. Then they just, like, spew hateful words at each other, then log off, right? They're, like, keyboard warriors. So in this scenario, you have to face that person face-to-face, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to call them a name or whatever, or you, whatever, you know, if you want to try to disrespect them, then either you're going to be docked minutes because you're not allowed to, but you also have to look them in the face, which is a lot harder than doing it on a keyboard. You know what I mean?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
I think it can either go good or bad, I'll say.
sure.
You know, it's going to go one way or the other. But what's so funny is, like, initially I was going to do my dissertation on religion and mental health, but actually it's so funny. I actually submitted my request to do my dissertation on social media, the pros and cons of it, and how it affects mental health. Like, you know, how some people are, like, gotten bullied over social media, you know, went off and, you know, committed, like, crazy crimes or hurt themselves, and then also how, you know, social media can sometimes be a good thing. Like, you know, we see acts of kindness, it inspires us to, you know, be kind and, you know, do some acts of kindness too. And then also, like we were just talking about, people see stuff and just run with it and repost it, and it could be so far from the truth. But hey, I saw it on Facebook, so it must be true, instead of doing the research.
Yeah.
I've always been like, I'm not saying I just don't trust nobody in this world, but I always do my research.
Yeah.
You could tell me something, I'll be like, okay, well, let me look into it. I'm not going to take it for face value. Let me look into that.
There's a lot of wisdom in that, for sure.
I think it's going to be pretty cool, though.
I think it could. I think it definitely has the...
If you do it the right way, I think it'll like how you're saying, putting those precautionary measurements in place, I think it could be a really good thing, good eye-opener for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for.
And then, too, it's just always good to see people, like, you know, regular people like us talking about things like this versus seeing, you know, some senator or, you know, some House representatives talk about things, but people like regular people, you know, talking about things and like kind of breaking stuff down to us where we can understand it, you know, at whatever level you're at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about that. I'm all for that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, wish me luck. Now that you have my number, feel free if you have any random thoughts that come to mind, you know, about pros and cons or something to think of, feel free to text me and, you know, give me a heads up, because I'm trying to be as thoughtful and as, you know, well thought out about it as I can. Of course, with anything in the beginning, there's going to be some trial and error, which is unavoidable, but I want to do it as good as I can the first time, so there's not as much, you know, trial and error, so it's a good product. So that's why I've taken so long to kind of release it, because I want to do it the right way.
And I even think, too, like, after everything's said and done, you should, like, go, you know, it's going to be live. Go and see if anybody posted any questions and get those questions answered, too.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. I'm a super thorough guy, so I would definitely
do that. So I think that would be really cool. But I would say for the first one, I will record it to see how it goes, like pre-record and everything.
Yeah.
See how it goes. And then, next
play it safe.
Probably, like, because that one, like, you coming out the gate going hard.
Yeah.
Trump versus, you know, non-Trump supporter. Oh, you know, it's going to be a lot of butthurt people. So, if you're one of those people that care about your Facebook numbers, just don't check your Facebook for a few days.
Yeah.
Because they're either going to go up or go down.
Yeah, no, I'm cool with that. I know that with doing something like that, there's going to be, first of all, people are going to criticize you no matter what you do. So even if you do a great job, there's always going to be haters. There's always going to be people that think they could do it better, or you should do it differently, or the fact that you have the nerve to be even look at it, Trump positive. You know, there's people.
How dare you, Terry? Yeah,
the Antichrist for that. So I'm already prepared for that. I'm not really worried about it, but what I am concerned with is putting out a good product and having a healthy dialogue about things that never happen, right? These conversations never happen. You never have a person that's a devout Trump supporter and a person that hates Trump like he's the devil. You never have them in the same room. And if you do have them in the same room, they're definitely not talking to each other.
They're talking at each other.
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm forcing you to sit down and have a mature conversation like adults, maybe you won't be able to do it, but I think that it would be interesting to see. And if you can do it, then that's awesome, and we can make some progress. You know what I mean? It's at least worth a try. And so, I think it has the potential to be pretty cool and you know, helpful for a lot of people. So that's why I want to do it. So we'll see. But anyways, I've already taken over an hour of your time, so I apologize for being lengthy, but. It was great.
No worries.
Great talking to you. Once this the COVID stuff dies down, if I'm ever in the Springs, I'm going to hit you up and try to buy you lunch if you're available.
Okay, I'm not one of those little salad eating girls now.
No, I know it. I know about you in Korea. That's cool. I got the bill. It's all good. I'm not worried about it. But yeah, is there anything you want to plug before I let you go, CG? I know you mentioned the Divine Six Therapy. That's in the Springs, right?
Yeah, it's in the Springs, 3595 East Fountain Boulevard, Suite 210.
Okay. How can people support you? Is there
I have a Facebook page, The Trap Therapist. They can find me on that.
Okay. Got you. Perfect. Well, I'll do my part in the next 24 hours, and then people hear this. I'm probably going to release this on Friday or Saturday, so I'll make sure to tag you on Facebook when I do. But
cool.
It was cool. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I did.
Okay, cool. It's nice when it's mutual.
Right.
Well, yeah, it was nice talking to you, CJ. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right.
All right, have a good night.
You too.
I see ya.
Bye.
And there you have it, the lovely Miss C.G. Brown. Awesome interview, awesome person. I wish she didn't live in the Springs so we could hang out more often, but it is what it is. So, yeah, that's all I got for you this week. One thing I was thinking about during the interview that I wanted to clarify about my thought of the day is I think there's nothing wrong with being proud of what you're a part of, whether it be me being an Italian, me being a Browns fan, me being a Navy veteran, you having pride in whatever your rate is or whatever your branch is completely fine and justified. What I have a problem with is when you put down other branches or try to act like you're better than somebody else because of what branch you're in or you being in combat, just stuff like that. Just super lame, just macho bullshit. So, yeah, so that's all I have for you guys this week. I did mention that I wanted to share some music with you from Anthony Mossberg. He had a new single that came out called If Heartbreak Had a Sound. And so I'm going to play that for you. If you like it, which I think you should, but everybody has different tastes, you can download it on iTunes. And so without further ado, let me cue that up for you. Here is Anthony Mossberg, If Heartbreak Had a Sound. Yeah.
sound a lot like this. Fire in my bones, pain on my lips.
And there was Eminem's song. Sorry about that. So, yeah, that's Anthony Mossberg. If our Heartbreak Had a Sound, hope you guys liked it. I loved it. He released that, like I said, a month or two ago. So if you like it, look it up on iTunes. Pretty easy, quick download to support him. So, yeah, that's all I have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. And I'll hopefully talk to you guys next week. Much love and stay safe. See ya.